Hey friends, you're listening to Go Home Bob or You're Drunk, an irreverent media podcast.
1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know. Hey everybody, welcome to Go Home Bible, You're Drunk, the podcast that knows that embryos that are in cold storage are not human people. I'm Tori, and I'm a former evangelical because I got hit so much as a child, since that's what we're talking about on Twitter today. And now I do this podcast, making fun of the Bible and, you know, finding the very small handful of gems in the pile of turds that is the Christian scriptures, taken literally with no fucking context. I also have a co-host.
Yeah. My name is Justin. I was spanked as a child, and so I grew up to be an abolitionist, as you do, because I was not fine, and no one is. So, but that's all we're going to talk about that. It was just been the discourse on Twitter today, and sigh.
Big sigh.
Big sigh. So I also was a former pastor, and now I am a pastor of the internet, opening up the Bible and talking about it and talking about Christian culture and seeing if there's anything good in there. And oh boy, this week was a doozy. I want to give you folks a taste of the menu of options we had to discuss today on This Week in Evangelicalism. First was a disturbing trend of Holocaust denial. We just decided not to touch that one. Then of course there's the perennial, sadly, war. I feel like war is stating it generously, the genocide that Israel is perpetuating against the people of Gaza. And we decided maybe not to touch that one, because we're actually going to touch a little bit on that in our main topic for today. So we're going to talk about IVF and Alabama, two things that I didn't think went together, but apparently they don't, because IVF is no longer allowed in Alabama.
It's like white people and black people in Alabama. They don't go together.
They just don't go together. You know, and I imagine that the black parts of Alabama are probably the better parts, maybe.
Yeah. Alabama and IVF are separate but equal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So recently, for those that maybe don't know, I think it's just the Supreme Court of Alabama. I'm sure it will get kicked up to our Supreme Court, and God knows what will happen. But the Supreme Court of Alabama has ruled that all embryos, whether they are inside of a woman or outside of a woman and anywhere in between, are human beings. The actual ruling said that they were extra uterine children, which in Religion Dispatches said a phrase so dystopian it would make Margaret Atwood shudder. And honestly, it's a ruling that is quite unprecedented, and no one really knows what it even means because the wording is so vague. A lot of, I've even seen like reporters, you know, cornering Alabama politicians, and Alabama politicians are like, this is a great day, you know, great day for children. We're going to have more children in Alabama. And they're like, women who were trying to have children via IVF are now not able to, because IVF clinics have mostly shut down because they're like, we don't know what the fuck is going to happen. Like, if we implant and it goes wrong, are we guilty of manslaughter? Like, you know, can we be, you know, like, I mean, it's complicated, you know, and as I understand it, I could be very wrong. I don't know that much about IVF, but like, it's not a one-to-one thing. It's, you know, we do whatever we can to make sure that something happens. And if 6 or 8 embryos are fertilized, then, well, we, you know, pick one or not. It's kind of up to everybody's discretion. But it's like, who, if that's a person now, legally speaking, what do we do? So yeah, Tori, thoughts on this?
I mean, this is interesting because I was honestly, as an evangelical, I was pretty anti-IVF. I was like, listen, if God wanted your body to have a baby, God would let your body have a baby.
You've been cursed with barrenness. You just have to now live with it.
until you have a kid and then you're not.
Yeah. Yikes.
And it wasn't like a, for that was like a personal thing for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's a little bit weird, but also because IVF is like a really intensive process. I was like, I would not personally go through that. I will adopt. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. So that was not an issue, but it's a little bit strange because, you know, like Catholics are pretty anti-IVF, or at least like the official position of the Catholic Church is anti-IVF. And, you know, evangelicals are very pro-IVF. And this ruling is so fucking bizarre. It's like, if your scare quotes, extra uterine children get burned up in a fire, you can sue, like, if your child got burned up in a fire, which is just very weird. Cause again, like, you can't put children in freezers when you don't want to deal with them right now.
Yeah. I can't put, yeah. Like, I feel like that should be a thing. Like, Can you
put it in a freezer?
Can you put it in a freezer and it stays alive after 24 hours? Like, it's not a person.
Well, it's because it's not alive.
It's just not alive. You know, like, it's just like, that's yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's very, I am personally really upset because there are all these anti-choice conservative women who are like, how dare you fucking mess with our IVF? Mm-hmm. This is not okay. I agree with them. And I'm also like, fuck you. You think that, like, as long as the embryo is coming from a lab, you think that you get to decide what happens with it. And, you know, if it doesn't come from a lab, then you think the government gets to decide what happens with it. And, like, that's really messed up. But again, it's like when you have this moral compass in the Bible that just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, it's like God is like fucking Captain Jack Sparrow and his moral compass just points to whatever he wants right now. And mostly it's rum. There's no consistency. Like, there's no consistency to be found here. So yeah, it's very odd that this particular group of women have such strong feelings about the government deciding what can and can't be in their uteruses. Cause I would almost agree with you. Like, it's just, you know, whatever. Small government, keep the government out of people's bedrooms and out of people's bodies.
And it's and the while I would say the IVF process is certainly a miracle for a lot of people. And again, I don't want to speak too clearly on it. It is a process that is not necessarily efficient. I think I was reading just earlier today, like, it's, you know, you can lose, I mean, averages between 60 and 80% of, you know, fertilized embryos are lost in the process. Just it's not an efficient, honestly,
this is
getting Justin. Pregnant generally is not an efficient process. Like, I just, you know, like, and when you add steps, it's not as efficient, but it also gives people that might not have an opportunity to have kids the opportunity to have kids. And that's like, it is a miracle in that sense, but it's now functionally illegal in the state of Alabama because there is no legal protections for doctors performing it. And also the people that are having IVF done. And there's even the legal question of, if I am a woman that has 6, you know, fertilized embryos in a freezer, am I legally obligated to now carry them to term? Like,
no, you just have to pay for them to be frozen,
like,
in forever.
Maybe. We don't know, actually. And this is the thing, like, evangelicals and conservatives, we have been warning for years that, I would say the reasonable evangelicals and conservatives, like, reasonable-ish, like, hey, if y'all let Trump come into office, we're going to have problems. And they're like, oh, no, it's fine. Tax cuts will be fine. And nope, we weren't fine. And we were been saying for years, like, hey, if y'all overturn Roe v. Wade, it's going to be a shit show. And they're like, oh, no, it'll be fine. The states will decide. It's going to be okay. No, it's not. Like, and it's sad to me that like there are people that have kind of thought I was the crazy one. Like, oh, they're not going to go after IVF. That's silly.
Right.
Like, no, like we lived amongst them for most of our lives, Tori. Like, we know what the more fringe elements, the most motivated elements, I should say, of this movement are capable of and what they actually want. They want fetal personhood. Yeah. They want a constitutional amendment that says an embryo, a fertilized embryo, is a full person. Now, when you're like, so do we pay child support for this full person? The second someone tests, you know, they're like, oh, we're like, it's because they can't think past the shiny thing that they want. And like, and this is a perfect example of that. Like, they can't think past the shiny thing that they want, and they got the shiny thing. And now everyone's like, what even the fuck does this mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
And unfortunately, again, evangelical women that wanted to have children now can't because this process has been stalled.
Yeah, definitely.
Make it make sense.
I do, like, the thing is, I do legitimately feel like again, I don't know. IVF is so brutal. It's like emotionally brutal. It's financially brutal.
Yes.
It's physically brutal. I don't know. Like, people don't really think about like the process of like all of the hormones that you have to get on in order to just like collect eggs that are viable for this particular procedure. Like, that's a whole thing that fucks your body, that fucks with your body. I shouldn't say it fucks your body up, but it like really messes with how you feel and how you can operate in the world as a person. So it is always really nice when dudes who aren't doctors and don't know how female reproduction even fucking works decide that, like, well, you know, the good Lord said children are a blessing, therefore,
yeah,
like something, oh, something frozen embryos are people too. And it's like, well, yeah, that it's just, no, it's not. And I mean, it is, it's a long, very grueling process that is wrought with disappointment. And, you know, for the, I'm sure, thousands of people in Alabama right now who are going through this process, who now can't do anything until they figure out what the fuck the law is supposed to be. And legally, like the legal status of like frozen blastocysts, which are like about the size of like a hair in width. Like,
yeah.
They're about like, they're, you know, a little bit bigger than a human hair in width wise. That is the human person that we are talking about. But because there's so much vagueness in this weird ruling about how, you know, you can sue for damages of your fertilized eggs the same way you can sue for damages of a harmed child, it's like everything is in limbo. And now I'm like, right, because I believe Alabama is the state where you can now claim a fetus on your taxes as a dependent. And I really, really hope that somebody like secretly without consent collects somebody's sperm, takes it in, gets a bunch of little embryos made, and is like, you owe me child support, bitch.
Yeah.
I don't have any kids, but I have got some kids in the freezer. So you have to pay for all 80 of them.
Yeah. And they cost me $100 a month to have in the freezer, you know, but you're going to pay me $500 a month, you know, like.
I mean, it is sort of a valid, it's not, I don't actually think this, but it's a fair question to ask.
Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do with the ones you don't want? Realistically, they get put in biohazard disposal. Like, that's what you do with them.
That's typically like, what happens, yeah. And
because they're not people and they are not alive.
Yeah. And there are women that do feel like, okay, I have five, you know, viable eggs and these are my children and I want to carry them to term. And that is a valid position to have. It's not a valid position to legislate to everyone.
Like, yeah. And I think, I mean, like you said, if you have five, embryos, you're going to get one or two kids.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going one at a time,
yeah.
Which is why they usually do between two and four at a time and then do a reduction, like a selective reduction, which I'm sure now is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, fucking heartbeat laws.
Yeah.
Heartbeat laws don't require you to have a human heart that pumps anything through mm-hmm. it. So I'm sure that terminating those pregnancies or
the electrical impulses you are picking up during the alleged heartbeat is not a heart. That's not what
hearts do.
No, that's not it.
It's vibes, guys. Yeah. Once again, you're making like vibes into science.
And here's the thing. I was listening to a creator. I don't know if it was on TikTok or Instagram or whatever that was talking about Kate Cox, and was talking about Kate Cox is the woman in Texas who like needed an emergency abortion, and Kate Cox was pro-life, you know, right. and probably still is to a certain extent from what I understand from what this creator right. was saying. I haven't looked into it too deeply, but like, and now she is pro-abortion because one, she needs it. And, you know, and they were making the point that like, women who are pro-life until they need it. And mm-hmm. then this is another case of that. Like,
right.
You know, you're pro-life and you're so pro-life, you're willing to go through IVF to bring a life into the world. And then now suddenly, oh shit. Like these dudes that don't know what they're doing and barely know what they're talking about, don't know what they're talking about, are mm-hmm. now controlling my ability to have a child. And like, ding, 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 like what affects one of us affects all of us. And mm-hmm. and this is something that we as a society, as people, men, women, siblings, like we have to push and fight against. Like we cannot mm-hmm. because they aren't going to lay around, like,
right.
You know, and again, I don't understand. This is what made me a terrible evangelical, because I never understood the mindset of forcing other people to do what you want. I understood mm-hmm. like in church saying IVF was wrong. Like if Catholics want to think that, like then fine, don't get it. Don't have it happen. Don't do it. Like,
right.
Like if you think it's wrong, don't do it. Like, but for someone who thinks it's perfectly fine, why would you remove that option from them if it's not hurting you?
Mm-hmm.
I've mm-hmm. never understood that.
Because it's like it's authoritarians, right? It's not about like, it's not even about the outcome they want. It's about being able to use the tools that they want, and the tools that they want to use are
mm-hmm.
force. They want to force people to do things.
Yeah.
Another hypothetical that I thought of that is terrible, but also would be incredible to see, is if somebody like has a bunch of embryos in a lab and just lights the lab on fire so that they can claim damages. Cause they're like, these kids mm-hmm. that I have now are fucking expensive. I would like a payout from the government, please.
Yeah. I'm going to sue for damages.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's like burning your business down for the insurance money. Like why? If you're going to motivate people to behave that way, that is how people will behave.
Yeah, it's a lot of perverse incentives. And mm-hmm. here we are. And unfortunately, like, you know, I mean, I was looking at, we were looking at Christianity Today, and it's like they've got no, at least as of today, they have no answer or response to this. mm-hmm. they got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and again, Christianity Today, famously pro-abortion up until like 1980. So.
Right. Yeah. Then they had to change their mind.
Yeah.
Gotta stay, you know, keep doing what everybody else in the club is doing, I guess.
Christianity itself, famously, maybe not pro-abortion, but at least not anti-abortion for mm-hmm. 2000 years.
No, I mean, like abortion is just a normal part of human healthcare
mm-hmm.
and has been for millennia at this point, and will mm-hmm. never stop being a normal part of human healthcare.
Yeah. Ben Franklin, you know, pro-abortion.
Right.
At least for the first 3 to 6 months, you know?
Yeah, no, that was the thing for a lot of the founding fathers. They were like, if it's before quickening, when you can feel the fetus moving around, that's what they said the cutoff was. They didn't have ultrasounds back then. You didn't know. So yeah, but like that was kind of where the founding fathers felt like there was a difference again, like, you're not... quickening and viability aren't the same, and viability with, like, extreme measures, like, is very... that gets messy, too, because it's like, okay, if this is, like, a, you know, 24-week gestation fetus, yeah, we could probably keep it alive under the right conditions, and you will be $10 million in debt by the time we're done here.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. And, you know, again, if, like, if you're pro-life, shouldn't conservatives be like, the government will foot that bill for you?
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Because every life is sacred. But it's like, as soon as you leave the birth canal, it's like, nope,
we don't
all
care.
Bets are off.
We don't care.
We don't care at all.
Yeah, like, it's, we aggressively don't care, actually. Like, it's, it's not, you know, mm-hmm. like, and here's the thing, like, I'll say this, like, you know, people are like, oh, well, it's the church's job to take care of people. Like, well, if the church could do that, they would, but they don't. And so, like, they don't and they won't. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I have heard of churches, you know, paying someone's medical debt, but that's usually like one person once every 10 years, maybe.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah. So it's like, it's not, nope, that doesn't work.
It's just, yeah, once like the government gets to decide the contents of your body, like, you just don't have rights anymore. Like, you have privileges, and that is all. And privileges can get taken away on a whim,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if they're trying to give all of the authority over every uterus to the government, which again is like, this is big government bullshit. I'm like, what are we talking about here? Are you guys trying to be communists? You're trying to be communists? Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in having that conversation.
Yeah, where every fetus is the property of the government. Like, that's essentially what they, that's essentially what they want, you know, frankly.
Yeah. 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 And it's not what the thing, and I, you know, I knew this when I was still fucking pro-life. Like, what happens when they get Roe overturned is we go back to having orphanages. And orphanages, we got rid of orphanages because children are being sexually assaulted. Like, they were not safe for children. Children are being physically assaulted. Children were being killed and buried in mass graves. Like, let's be fucking honest about this. And now it's going to be churches who are getting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month from the state to run an orphanage where these kids are going to be neglected and assaulted.
Yeah, you thought, like, the church was a breeding ground for predators now.
Oh, it's a magnet.
Yeah.
Like, once this happens, like, it's a fucking magnet for predators. Like,
and what movie, book, show is the person that runs the orphanage a good person? Like, it's a meme for a reason, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
Or a trope or whatever you want to call it. Like, mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. like, these things exist for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, other nations have done this and it went horrifically wrong, and like unspeakable kinds of abuse and thousands of children living in sewers. Like, we can do this. We've already done it. So we know what's going to happen, and it's not going to be good. But I think that ultimately it's like, yeah, it's, if the government can control the contents of your body, then they control your whole body, right? Like, you are no longer a person. And I don't think that's a great way to go. I don't think that government should have that much power over people. I sound like a libertarian. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but
I mean,
I think bodily autonomy is, again, if you don't have that right, you have no rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and that's, it seems so elementary to me. And it's also interesting because these same people, when we were like, hey, like, we'd really like you to wear a mask during COVID, they were like, my body, my rights, which is like, okay, the piece of cloth over your face is not harming your body in any way whatsoever, but okay. Or like, if we say, oh, okay, like, dudes, you know, why don't we do something to dudes to prevent them from impregnating women? Like, oh, hey, whoa, you can't touch me. Like, Mm-hmm. So it's like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. So like, it's interesting how those lines get drawn, and it's like, oh, but women, like, you know, like Amy Coney Barrett was like, oh, you just have the baby and give it up for adoption. No big deal. Like, as if pregnancy itself is not this big fucking
massive
deal.
Undertaking. Yeah. Like, I mean, that, like, getting pregnant was what made me pro-choice, because I was like, there is no fucking way anyone mm-hmm. should have to do this by themselves without support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was sick all day long for months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was depressed and, like, had some very incredibly dark moments at the beginning of my pregnancy. It was awful. Like, it was really, truly, like, one of the darkest chapters of my life. And that's when I was like, oh, forcing people to do this? Like, fuck that noise. Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had, like, had a good job. I had health insurance. I had a partner. So I had support. Like, and I still was just like, Jesus Christ, this is barely worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know? And so I just, yeah, asking someone to do that. And it's like, oh, yeah, just give the baby up for adoption and, like, or, you know, whatever, and then go back to your job 2 days later.
Because we don't have family leave in this country that, you know, like, again, Christianity Today, sorry, like, they were talking about how they were lamenting the way, like, France made abortion a constitutional right. Evangelicals promote a culture of life. And I'm not going to go into the stupid article, but it's like, you don't promote a culture of life. Like, you don't. Like, there is not a culture of life that forces people to have kids. That is not mm-hmm. a culture of life. It is mm-hmm. not a culture of life that forces, that neglects parental leave. Like, mm-hmm. neglects, like, these basic things that would make it bearable to have children in this country. You know, mm-hmm. I have three kids. I love them dearly. I became more pro-choice with every child I had. Not because I don't love them, but it was just like, right. I'm watching this happen to my partner. I'm seeing how difficult this is. I'm seeing how financially stressful it is. Like, and I would never force that on someone who was not fully committed to it. Like, mm-hmm. and you shouldn't, for the sake of future kiddos, for the sake of the parents' mental health. You know, and that's the thing too, like it in this country or in our culture, once you have kids, you are entirely, you lose all your agency. It's like, mm-hmm. your mental health, fuck that. Your mm-hmm. financial security, fuck that. Like, everything mm-hmm. is 100% dedicated to rearing these kids. Now, part of that true, obviously, is the case, but it's also like, you become this vessel to produce kids. You're not an autonomous person anymore. And it's like, it's okay for someone to be like, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
Like, and you should be able to decide that. And someone who doesn't want a kid shouldn't be forced to raise one.
Yeah. Somebody who has to work 60 hours a week to afford rent in a place they share with a roommate should not mm-hmm. be forced to have a child.
No.
Conservatives are so appalled every time someone says that you're punishing someone for having sex with a child, because mm-hmm. they're like, a child is not a punishment. And it's like, no, in this case, like, the child is going to be the victim of being raised in an environment where they are not wanted. And unfortunately, because of the stress of parenting, a lot of them are going to be told explicitly that they were not wanted. Mm-hmm. And if you think those kids are going to grow up and not do crime and be gay, like, you're dumb.
Yeah.
You're a dumb, dumb person.
Yeah. But, you know, they weren't burdened with an abundance of schooling. So, I mean, we'll see how this unfolds. I'm sure it will be contested, and I hope it is not made the law of the land. Question mark. Interesting times we're in. But we're going to take a little capitalism break, and then we're going to talk about the American Colonization Society, which is as much fun as it sounds. We'll be back.
1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change. It's a podcast about seeking moral high ground. And it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for putting up with that little capitalism break with us. Hopefully you were blessed by whatever the Holy Spirit / algorithm decided to give you today. I hope it was exactly what you needed. For those of you who would like to support the show and or not listen to ads and or get a life verse from God that is given to you by us, You can sign up to become a patron of the show. And that is just at patreon.com/gohomebible. You can join our little Discord community and participate in some other stuff when we need feedback on the show. So, but yeah, that is patreon.com/gohomebible. If you appreciate the show and are able to do that, that would be hugely helpful. If you appreciate the show and you're not able to do that, why don't you text it to somebody? That also would be hugely helpful. Yeah, sharing the show with your friends, leaving reviews, all of those things are good and help the algorithm gods not hate us and are very, very appreciated. So thank you to all of our patrons. And yeah, Justin, what are we doing? What are we up to?
We're going to talk today about the American Colonization Society, which is a thing I didn't know existed until a week and a half ago, when Tori texted me asking if I heard of it. And I y'all are in for a treat. That's all I'm going to say. And we were talking on the break, and we've decided that groups of, and this is going to sound harsh, but I'm just going to say it, groups of white Christians should not be allowed to gather and have ideas. Like, you know, like we had a good run, you know, as a white person, we had a great run. You know, and great run for us, I should say, asterisk, great run that benefited really only us. Perhaps now it's time to not. So, you know, it says where two or more are gathered there, I am in the midst of them. And maybe just two can gather from here on out. Groups of no more than two white folks. Because my God, this is a terrible idea. And so I suppose as a drinking game, again, I can't think of a conundrum that I would really want to choose for this one. As a drinking game, if you just agree, if you find yourself agreeing that, my God, we should not have white people gathering in more than groups of two, go ahead and take a drink. You'll be drunk in like 5 minutes. So, I did a little bit of Googling just to somewhat familiarize myself, but I also wanted to preserve my shock and awe for when Tori tells us all about this. And so Tori, go ahead and tell us what you've learned about the American Colonization Society and why it's relevant to our discussion about just life in general today. And yeah, what were they about? What did they do? Because they just sound like a lovely group of people.
Oh, don't they? American colonization? Doesn't that just sound delightful? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had never heard of this group before. I have, however, heard of their work, and I didn't know this, but I have mentioned it in passing as an example of things we maybe should be very careful of going forward on the show before, like I mentioned it here. So I was doing a deep dive for my other podcast, White Homework, because I wanted to talk about Mary Richards Bowser, who was a black spy during the Civil War and a very fascinating individual. And while I was researching Mary's story, before the Civil War broke out, Mary went to Monrovia, Liberia, from Virginia, to be a missionary. And I was like, oh, what is this business? Mm-hmm. And quickly, I like found out that this was an endeavor that was put together by, the American Colonization Society, the ACS, it was initially, can I read you the name it was initially called? It was initially called the American Society for Colonizing the Free People of Color of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Really just rolls off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So I am like doing this research on what Mary was supposedly doing during this time when she was in Liberia. And I want to say like titillated and mortified, like simultaneously, which is weird. That's a weird combination, right?
It's a bit like watching a horror movie. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to mm-hmm. keep watching, but I do want to kind of find out what happens. Like, it's a bit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically how this went down, December of 1816, a group of white dudes get together in Washington, D.C., and they sit down at a hotel and they're like, we need to form a society for the colonization of people of color. And I'm like, I don't even know what you mean by that. Like, colonization of the people of color, like, you want to double colonize them, or you want them to go colonize mm-hmm. someone else, or like, what does this even mean? Right?
It does kind of take it takes a second to wrap your brain around the.
Yeah, it's very confusing. So I was like, who or what is being colonized? It's black people. I'm sure you'll be shocked to hear. Essentially, some of these people were abolitionists. Some of them were slavers. Some of them were business owners. Some of them were politicians, kind of like all over the place. The first president of the ACS was Bushrod Washington. It was George's nephew, apparently.
Bushrod. Washington.
Yeah. So these dudes, they get together one, I'm sure, lovely afternoon in Virginia, in Washington, D.C., in December. And they're like, what do we do with the free blacks? Which mm-hmm. I'm putting it much more politely than they are. And so they all kind of come together and they're like, we need to address this problem, right? It's like the Negro problem is how they're kind of seeing this, how they're framing it.
Yeah.
But they, unsurprisingly, if you know anything about American history, they couch it in this very benevolent language.
I think that's the part that seems most sinister, because it's like, we want to do the right thing by the free black slaves, like, or former slaves, yeah. or, you know, people yeah. that have been born, they're now born free in this country, and we want to do right by them.
So during this little meeting, or during one of the meetings,
this is like early 1800s. So slavery is
early 1800s. Slavery is like rocking.
Yeah. Alive and well, and will be alive and well for probably 50 more years, I think.
Yeah. Like generations. Yeah. So the quote unquote innocents, this is the ACS's words, not mine. They decided, these white dudes decided, have profited from the blessings of our art, our civilization, and our religion. And so the idea was that sending black people back to Africa would, quote, extinguish a great portion of the moral debt, end quote, owed to a people who did not come here by choice. I have to laugh because, mm-hmm. like, white nonsense is really funny. Like, if there wasn't all the genociding part, it would be quite comical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have this little meeting, and they're like, what are we going to do with all of these folks? So, you know, Bushrod is like leading this. There's, you know, different people from different areas of the country. They're all like saying their piece about, you know, the importance of getting rid of this other caste of people. And again, they use that word caste. Like, that's not me. That is them. Because, you know, free blacks don't have the proper moral constitution to be Americans.
They were also not citizens at the time, I think. Even if they were free, were they also not considered citizens?
It depended on the state.
So functionally, no, in a lot of places. So
functionally, no. You know, like, free black people were still constrained in, like, the jobs that they were legally allowed to have. Like, in the North, were constrained in, like, mm-hmm. the jobs they were allowed to have. So it's like, you're still, you know, it's not 3/5, it's 4/5. Like, you're almost there. Not all the way, though. So word of this meeting gets out. and some like black folks in the North, because again, the idea is like, let's get rid of these folks, like let's send them back and like they can colonize another place and we will support them in that endeavor. Yeah, so free black men were like, excuse me. Once again, we did not consent to any of this shit. There were a few, this is really interesting, right? So free black men in the North were kind of like, fuck this noise. Black people in the South, in the slave states, gave it a second glance, which fucking fair. Right? Somebody's going to pay your way back to the continent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And kind of just helping with me with the timeline, I think it was like 1808, like maybe 10 or 15 years before this, mm-hmm. like the importation of slaves was made illegal. So right. most people that were slaves at this time were either born here or had lived here longer than they had lived anywhere else, or like were three or four generations removed from when their great grandparents were brought overseas. So it's not like they'll be like, oh, I'll find my way back home and meet my relatives. Like,
yeah, no, that was not within the realm of possibility. Yeah.
So it was very much a, we're just going to send you back to this place you don't know. And I think there mm-hmm. was one argument that was made like by a freed black man. I couldn't remember the source, but it was like, I have no more in common with someone in Africa than someone who is here has someone in common with someone from Great Britain. Like it's like,
right.
I'm not African any more than you're British. Like,
right.
You know, we're Americans.
Right. It's like you came from Britain once upon a time, but that doesn't mean anything now.
Yeah.
So there are some in the North. Interestingly, there are some black leaders who a few weeks after this initial meeting, about founding the ACS, there's some like black businessmen who are like, oh, maybe this isn't like the worst idea, right? Like people who already are financially fairly secure, right? Which, you know, a lot of that was just luck, because the legality of it was iffy. One of these people was Paul Cuffey, who was a black wealthy ship owner. So he was trading something, clearly not people, across the Atlantic. And he was like, oh, so he goes over at some point, he winds up in Sierra Leone. He sees that like this is what Britain is doing in Sierra Leone, right? Is they're like expelling like the poor black people from London, and also when British ships are stopping like slave ships from crossing the Atlantic, they would send those people back up to Sierra Leone, right? So there's this whole weird shuffling going on. But homeboy, Paul Cuffey, is like, sees like, oh, maybe we could do a thing with this, right? Like maybe we could make this into a very, you know, into, you know, what we want, what we envision for our lives. And which, for the record, I think I speak on behalf of the entire black community when I say, we just want to be left the fuck alone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he and some ministers and some other folks kind of gather together a few weeks later and decide to like pitch this plan of the American Colonization Society to the free black men of Philadelphia. Almost every single black man in Philadelphia shows up for this fucking meeting. It is packed.
Jeez.
Like packed to the rafters. And Paul is like, okay, here's my idea. And these dudes are like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? And it was very much that idea of like, we don't have anything in common with like African people anymore, or we don't have no connection to Africa. It wasn't like people could just come and go as they pleased, right?
Yeah.
It's like your abilities and your movement were still very constrained. And so the initial response that this pitch got from black people to black people was like, fuck no. But again, for enslaved people, it's like, oh, this might, anything looks better than race-based chattel slavery.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, I can understand where those folks were coming from. And yeah. So again, like, the ACS is very clear from the jump that, like, their intentions, like, the white leadership of what turns into the ACS are very clear that their intentions are only for free Black people to go. So basically they're trying to, like, support the institution of slavery by getting rid of free Black people and just keeping the Black people.
And there it is.
In bondage.
Yeah, there it is. Like, because from what I understand, there was the concern was more like, there are a lot of free Black people around here. And what happens if they want to go free their friends down south? Like, what's going to happen if they are able to vote? What's going to happen if, you know, there gets to be too many of them? So, and they were like, well, they don't really, they're not going to really mix with us, you know, like,
oh no.
And
yeah,
so,
they, yeah, no.
And they,
no mixing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they wouldn't allow that, but you know, it's just one of those things. It was kind of like, they're not allowed to mix with us because they wouldn't mix well with us, says the white people. So, so yeah, it's one of these things that's like, and like most things, it's, you know, kind of like the Patriot Act. Doesn't that just sound like so like nice? You know, like when white people name a thing, the nicer the name sounds, the worse it probably
the
is.
The more sinister it probably,
you know, because it's like, we're just here for the free Black people. And it's like, no, like, and also like across the pond, what are Africans thinking about this? I don't think Africans were consulted.
Justin,
as to whether or not they would be fine accepting a bunch of people that, again, have no connection to that, the land, no connection to their culture. Like, it's just like, are you just going to drop them off? Like,
yeah. Yeah, they are. Okay. So.
Wow.
Within a few years of this first initial meeting, fuck knows how this happened. The ACS gets federal funding of over $250,000 in back then money,
which is
for this venture,
billions of dollars now.
Shit ton of money. With that money, stay with me, think about this. With that money, they purchased a 5,000 square mile strip of land on the west coast of Africa worth an estimated $1 million. Does anything about that stand out to you?
Yeah, it seems the math ain't mathin', okay?
So they are like, we're going to purchase land, but I don't like, USD is not legal tender in the bush. Like, who are you purchasing this from? Like, who is even here?
It's like they just set the money on the beach.
Like, okay,
it's paid for. Paid for.
I can't, I'm like, I'm so stuck on this. I'm like, who did you pay? What did you pay?
Did they just find like the first African they could find? I'm like, here, we would like this. Here, like, I don't like.
They're like, oh, cool. Thanks for the tinder for my fire, I guess.
Like, this doesn't. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, like, so they got all of this going and they put up a little settlement with a few hundred, well, settlers, because again, we use really pretty language when people are doing awful things.
So let me get this straight. The United States took a lot of money to make a settlement in a place that is allegedly the homeland of people, against the will of the people that already lived there, and funded them, I'm assuming, quite a bit. And historically, this went really well, right?
Yes, facts, always. This always goes well.
This always goes well. Such a great idea. We repeated it again and again and again. And had no repercussions to this day.
Right. It's almost like we don't learn from our choices.
Right.
Yeah. So this little settlement / colonizer village is, as I said, called Monrovia. I just have to say, like, all the love to my Liberian siblings. I will go fund me the money for you to change the name of your fucking city, because Monrovia is awful. But it's a terrible, terrible name. It was obviously named after President James Monroe, you know, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, a little piece of paper he signed when he was 18 years old.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening right now? Like, this is chaos. So basically, this teensy tiny little settlement, which at this point is not having like violent confrontations with anybody, thankfully, at least none that I was able to find that were documented. I suppose maybe they were. But given that it's like indigenous people, they probably didn't have a concept of land ownership. So they're just like, okay, these people are here. We don't really live in this area anyway. Yeah. I don't know.
They gave us a lot of paper for this. Okay.
Somebody gave us a lot of paper and then sailed away. So anyway, Monrovia basically looks like a little Southern American town, which is great. I'm sure that you will agree.
The Savannah of the East.
Oh boy. Okay. No, it's wilder than that, right? So obviously, like, Virginia, quite chilly in December. Liberia, not so much. Average high of 88 degrees. Great. There's also humidity. There's also mosquitoes. The mosquitoes are surely just like having an absolute field day because fresh blood just got off this boat.
And they're in top hats.
Justin.
Justin. Yeah.
They're literally in top hats.
I know.
It's wild, right? So like, they've got this little city. There are these huge avenues that are like lined with palm trees. I'm sure that everything smells like, you know, jasmine and salt water and horse shit. And like, there are green vines growing over literally everything. All of the houses, again, look like they were just picked up from like Savannah and shipped all the way across the ocean and just plopped down in this random little place. And, you know, and this is like within a few years. Like, this is less than 10 years from the initial meeting. This town is full of English-speaking, American-dressing Black people and like a smattering of white folks, but they don't handle the malaria quite as well because they don't have the like genetic mutation that a lot of Black people have.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like if somebody forced Africa to like cosplay the American South, that is what is happening here.
And it goes great.
It goes wonderfully. It goes beautifully. As you can imagine, the white people were still in charge, at least, you know, for a while. And they had a little authoritarian kingdom going over here for, again, a while. They created a government that was called the Colonial Council, which claimed authority over the native Africans who lived on their land, but whom they had never seen. Like, most of these people had never interacted with anyone from America. Like at all. And so, and just to tell you how like fucked up this is, 1849, Monrovia gets its first Black colonial governor, or Liberia gets its first Black colonial governor. So 1849. Indigenous Liberians do not get the right to vote until 1951.
Wow.
Like, oh, what were you doing here exactly? Do you remember where you came from? I'm just curious.
Yeah, there were some pretty famous civil wars that happened later on. Not as a result of this. No. Purely this. Coincidental. War and strife and hardship and depression is the result of arming a bunch of people and throwing them on their quote unquote native land and saying, deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go nuts. Go nuts.
Yeah.
So the first missionaries, settlers, whatever, they're there to make the like tribal indigenous people of Liberia into like white American Christians who happen to be Black. Like, that is their explicit intention, right? Again, what could go wrong? And like, they kind of had this belief that like you couldn't be a civilized person unless you had like all of the like societal expressions of civility, that are, you know, being imported from the US and Britain, right?
Which sounds silly, but it's like, again, the people that are being shipped over back to Africa have probably been told their entire lives that they, like, that this is what makes you a person. Mm-hmm. Like, these trappings.
Mm-hmm. There was one anthropologist who wrote of Liberia, the Americo-Liberian, so like the non-indigenous people, mm-hmm. still worships clothes as an outward and visible manifestation of Christianity and the best civilization. That is to say, the European clothes of the 19th century. He shares with our father the religion of the tall hat and frock coat.
Oh my God.
And this is almost this particular person is like 80, 90 years after this thing first kicked off. So they're still doing it. Like 100 years in, they're still like, well, you got to dress like we do and you got to talk like we do. Obviously, you know, they started off with just schools and doing some trading because that's always what it is. It's just like missionaries.
So putting a school in the middle of like indigenous land and forcing native folks to go to it, that works out really well, right?
Well, you know what's really funny about that? Had a very high washout rate, I would say, mm-hmm. to put it very mildly. There is this expectation that the settlers have that like the indigenous people come to them mm-hmm. to be like trained as, you know, human people now, incredibly fucked up. And it takes a long fucking time to like get rid of this kind of mentality, right? Mm-hmm. But by the time they get rid of it, it's sort of too late because now you've got a huge settlement and a shit ton of resentment for over a century of abuses. And like there was a very explicit like racial hierarchy in a black African country. Mm-hmm. So like obviously, you know, Liberians and people from the rest of West Africa are not all like the same people. Like they're not all the same people groups or anything like that. But they still like they divided themselves culturally between like the Liberians who had come from the West and the indigenous people. Like I said, if you were indigenous, you were not allowed to vote until the 1950s. There's also like a lot of colorism, right? And discrimination. So there's legal discrimination against black African people in fucking Africa. That like, and you can't have discrimination without violence because you have to find a way to like maintain that hierarchy. Otherwise it would go away if you don't force it on people.
If you don't police it'll dissolve.
Right. And so, as you may have guessed, this turns into multiple civil wars where multiple people, like so many innocent people died on top of this because the West has like sort of put this country on the map. They also extract natural resources at fair market value.
No, it was a perfectly altruistic endeavor. There just happen to be natural resources there.
They're just happy. Yeah, exactly. All the places with the people we don't like. Why is that? I wonder.
This only happened to Liberia, right? There's no other place they tried this shit.
No, definitely hasn't happened anywhere else.
They've so never, not Sierra you know, Leone,
people
Cote d'Ivoire,
to the side or Israel. No, it's a fucking pattern. Like this is not the way to like start a country. Obviously you can correct it. I mean, I think like if the US and South Africa can stop being fucking apartheid states, like anyone can do it. I mean, you know, legally apartheid states. Discrimination is much, much harder to get rid of.
Functionally, sometimes still, but legally. Not supposed to be.
Not supposed to be. Right, exactly. Aspirationally, not an apartheid state.
Considering where we came from.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right? It's still a win. But yeah, so there are like decades of like these brutal civil wars. And it's like, again, when you force a bunch of people, and I don't mean forces in like you're forcing them to be there. But when you're like funneling them into a space and you're giving them money and you're giving them arms and you're giving them this massive head start and you're giving them this land that other people live on, that other people live on and own, you get civil war. Like, that's just facts. That is historically documented all over the goddamn place, right? I think there's a teeny little bit of it in the United States in that, like, we want freedom from, like, the tyranny of King George, but we are going to be tyrants ourselves to Indigenous people mm-hmm. in America and Black people, right? So it is very easy and probably, I would say, the norm for oppressed people to turn around when they are given power and become the oppressors, like very, very quickly.
Yep.
And you know, I have a few friends from Liberia, and like that shit doesn't just disappear because, you know, you're not officially fighting people anymore, right? Like, living through the trauma of a civil war just doesn't just vanish because it's over now.
I mean, here in the United States, like, it's not over for some people.
Oh yeah, you mean the first culture war?
Yeah, like our civil war is still alive and well in some people's imaginations. Like, and this is generations sure. later, like a hundred, right. over 100 years later. Like,
yeah, they still want to redo it.
They were like, you know, we'll get them again. You know, like, I don't even know why. They want to fight, right. you know, like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
This war was fought over Northern aggression, states' rights, had nothing to do with slavery. You know, my family were farmers. Like, okay.
Yeah, no, it was just owning slaves for your family was just aspirational. You weren't actually able to accomplish it.
Bingo.
Boo hoo.
So, yikes. And they did this a couple different places. It wasn't just Liberia. Just Liberia was their most successful one.
So Sierra Leone was like the British version of this, and then Liberia was the US version of it. Côte d'Ivoire was the French version of it. They were all doing this bullshit. And again, countries that have never had wars or anything because of Western fuckery.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they all turned out fine. Look how great they are.
Yikes. And I will say too, like, I mean, this isn't the subject of this particular episode, but like, Zionism was close on the heels of this kind of stuff, you know, in the later 1800s, you know, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it might blow someone's mind. Zionism didn't happen because we felt bad after World War II. Zionism was happening 60 years before World War II. Like that.
Yeah.
So
like as a concerted marketing campaign mm-hmm. and the people who were being marketed to were American and British evangelicals.
Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating. Like, we have this Black population we don't know what to do with. Let's quote, return them to their homeland. And shockingly, Europe has a problem. We have all these Jews here. If we don't know what to do with them, let's, quote unquote, return them to their homeland.
Place you've never been, have no connection to. Your family hasn't been for centuries or millennia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ethnostates aren't really a good idea, I think, maybe the takeaway.
Historically, very, very bad. Historically, go badly for honestly everyone involved, mm-hmm. right? Because like that shit fucks you up regardless of what side of the gun you're on.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't tell me like IDF soldiers or Liberian soldiers like mm-hmm. are well.
No.
Are doing well.
No, absolutely. They wouldn't claim to be well. Mm-hmm. Like, they know they're fucked up.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there's still, I think, a lot of nationalism, like white nationalism, Black nationalism, whatever kind of nationalism, Christian nationalism, Jewish nationalism, mm-hmm. all of the nationalisms, all the flavors of nationalism are at play here. You know, and there are people who like are true believers, like truly believe in the cause, but that doesn't mean you're not fucked up by.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you're well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, not at all.
And here's the thing, the American Colonization Society, this is what blew my mind. You know, so they have, they're this, you know, they have these big ideas. they weren't officially disbanded until the 1960s. And it was largely because, like, ooh, like, racism's not popular anymore. Like, uh-huh. and that's, like, not even kind of an exaggeration. Like, the Wikipedia page is, like,
literally true.
It's like, being openly racist is not cool anymore. So maybe we ought to shut this down. And it didn't go away. But, like, it's, you know, these efforts to remove Africans from the United States, like, continued, you know, like,
yeah
for a long time.
With government funding, just like, again, like, it's just another, honestly, like, another genocide that the U.S. has funded, which is fucking gross. It's almost like we suck. I did think that was a doozy. And honestly, though, like, 1960 this is, like, still rocking in the 1960s. They're like, oh, yeah. Okay,
you know. And also, like, Abraham Lincoln for a time, like, actually jived with this idea. I think he eventually abandoned it, which is what possibly got him killed. But because, like, and again, I don't know, I'm not a Lincoln scholar, but, like, from what I understand, just in kind of reading about this, is he was kind of on board with this idea until he began realizing that, like, Black soldiers are fighting for this country, and so perhaps it would be rude of us to deport them to Africa after that. And once he started changing his mind about that, he was killed. So yeah. We don't know what would have happened, but obviously. Yeah.
No, it was the ACS specifically was very interesting because anti-racist abolitionists hated it and racist abolitionists loved it. And that was really the difference.
And there were racist abolitionists.
Maybe curiously most of them, to be honest.
Curiously enough. So I don't know. This is just, it's fascinating is the wrong word, but it's
informative.
It's informative to see how there's nothing new. And in some ways it's same shit, different day. Unfortunately, now the guns are bigger. And the stakes are a little bit higher. And I don't know the current history of Liberia and these places, but I think there's been a certain amount of wrestling with some of this past. And don't meddle in other people's shit, I think, is really the moral of the story. At least not without permission and consent. And
or just be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
And, like, be grateful that you get to reside in a place that you want to live in. Like, you're not better than someone because you've got bigger guns.
And also, like, if you did wrong by a population of people, perhaps do right by them to their face rather than giving them some cash and sending them, quote unquote, back where they came from. Because they didn't even come from there, guys. Come on. Like, get it right. So I don't know. It's interesting. And I hope this was informative, little deep dive into this odd little quirk of our history that has had a strangely large impact on, I think, Black folks in this country, Black folks, obviously, in East Africa. And also, like, people in Gaza and Israel and Palestine. Like, it's this is the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part. I don't really have an answer other than, like, maybe we just stop doing that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Maybe we could just stop, you know.
Projecting your power is not a great idea.
Nah.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Hope you have a great week. And we'll see you next time.
First Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change. It's a podcast about seeking moral high ground. And it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcast. And if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.